Well, this morning, our Bibles are pre-marked to John chapter number 14. Our Bibles are pre-marked to John chapter number 14. But before we get to John chapter number 14, I just want to remind us once again of our theme that's carrying us for the first 6.5 months of 2018, all the way up to the general church meeting. And we're believing that after the general church meeting, we shall, in fact, receive additional instructions that will take us for the rest of 2018. But nevertheless, the thing that is in fact carrying us is that we're looking to prepare the church for the next move of God. We're preparing the church for the next move of God. When we talk about preparing, we're talking about making ready, we're talking about making available, and we're also talking about equipping. And so what we're doing is that we're making the church ready, we're making ourselves available, and we're equipping ourselves for a specific purpose. Church, when we look at the next move of God, when God makes a move, he's doing it because we cannot do anything more from the position that we're in. And so the next move of God has everything to do with repositioning us so that we can actually begin to move forward. And so we've done everything that we can, in fact, do up until this time. And we know that in July that there's a transition taking place between our bishop and our Episcopal pastor. And there's a transition in dispensations. And as there's a transition in dispensation, one dispensation is ending and a new dispensation is in fact beginning, therefore introducing the next move of God. And so we want to get excited about the next move of God. We want to get excited about the transition. We want to get excited about change. We want to get excited about change because we know that this is all about God's glory and our benefit. Is about God's glory and our benefit. Whenever God is introducing change, it's for his glory and for our benefit. Amen. So we're excited about that. And as we begin to look at this, we also understand is that if we're going to prepare the church for the next move of God, what that means is that each and every one of us, each and every one of us must make ourselves ready. We must make ourselves available. And we have to make sure that we are, in fact, equipped for the next move of God. Because oftentimes when the next move of God comes, if we're not prepared, we're going to miss the opportunity. We're going to miss the opportunity. There are opportunities that I have missed because I was not prepared for the opportunity. And the Lord doesn't want us to miss this next move. He doesn't want us to miss what he's about to do in each and every one of our lives individually and in the life of the church collectively. Are we it together? But nevertheless, if we're going to prepare ourselves for the next move of God, church, what that means is that we're going to have to leave that which is familiar. We're going to have to leave that which is familiar. And the thing about it is that we cannot know the will of God. We cannot know the will of God depending upon familiar knowledge. We cannot know the will of God depending upon familiar knowledge. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with familiar knowledge. But church, we have to realize and understand if we're going to grow, if there's going to be change, and if we're going to move into something new, we're going to have to acquire some new knowledge. We're going to have to acquire some new knowledge. So we just can't depend upon the knowledge base that we have now. Because typically what happens is that maturity requires us to go beyond the current knowledge that we have. Maturity requires that we go beyond the current knowledge that we have. To go from elementary to middle and middle to high and high school into college. Listen, you can't keep depending upon elementary school knowledge. You know, being a freshman at the university, we're going to have to know a little bit more than our times table. 1 × 1 = 1. 1 × come on, are we together? And so between elementary school and freshman year of college, we would have acquired some new knowledge. Are we here together? And so what the Lord is asking us to do is that you're going to leave that which is familiar. You're going to leave that which is familiar. Just as he told Abraham, listen, I want you to leave that which is familiar, comfortable, and secure, and to go to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm not going to tell you what it is, and I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I need you to leave from where you are. And the Lord wants us to know is that we had to leave from where we are even for him to show us what he wants us to see in the next move. See, that's why he's trying to get us to move, because right now we have done all that we can do from the current position as a church, which means it's the same way as relates to us as individuals. And he said, now listen, you've done all that you can do right now. But see, what happens is that you can't see what I need you to see because there's a tree in the midst of your sight. And it's blocking you from being able to see. And so if you can't see, you don't know what to do. And so what he says now, I need you to prepare for the next move. And what the next move is going to do is reposition you so that you can see beyond the tree. Church, are we together? To reposition you to see beyond the true tree so that you can know what to do from that point. See, right now you're looking at the tree and you're right up against the tree and you don't know what else to do. See, it's the same way in our personal lives. We can reach a point in our personal lives where we don't know what to do. And we don't know what to do because we have done all that we have known to do. But what's happening is that we're right up against the trees in our lives. And the Lord is saying that I need you to mature. I need you to grow. And I need to reposition you so that you can see beyond the tree that's in front of you. So that you can see what I'm showing you that's before you. So that you can know what to do. Come on, church. Are we here together? Yeah. So we need to get excited. We need to get excited. But we're going to leave that which is familiar. We're also going to leave that which is comfortable. We're going to leave that which is comfortable. See, because comfort keeps us. Comfort keeps us from moving. Comfort keeps us from moving. See, comfort can cause us to go to sleep. Comfort can keep us from going to sleep, and the Lord is saying, I can't have you going to sleep now. The times are such now that I can't have you going to sleep. I need my church. And I need a church that's woke. When I say woke, I mean really woke. That can see beyond the tree that they now find in front of them. And I believe that's what's happening in the body of Christ Universal, is that the body of Christ Universal is right up against a tree. Cannot see what to do next because they have to change positions. Not back up, just change position. And you have to see things from a different angle, a different position. And so what the Lord is doing is he's ushering in a next move, and specifically within this church, From the Heart Church Ministries Worldwide, he's ushering in the next move of God for the church. He says, you have maxed out the current dispensation. And in the change of leadership, there's a new dispensation that's coming. Now, the change has to take place before there can be any additional instructions that come. But the instructions that come is for my glory and for your benefit. For my glory. See, I'm going to be glorified. You are going to shout. You're going to lift up my name truly, 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 but it's for your benefit. Church, are we together? And I believe that the next move of God has a lot to do with a generation. It has a lot to do with a generation, and in just talking with pastors, even in across the country, and even in Atlanta, they're talking about the same things. And what they're talking about is a generation, and what's happening in the church, and what. But as they're talking, they don't have an answer. And the reason that they don't have an answer is because they're looking at a tree. They're looking at a tree, but they have to be repositioned. But they don't know that they need to be repositioned to be able to see what the Lord sees so that he can begin to give directions and instructions. Church, are we together? But nevertheless, church, we need to be prepared. We're going to leave that which is familiar. We're going to leave that which is comfortable. And we're going to leave that which is secure. We're going to leave that which is secure. And when I talk about that which is secure, I'm talking about natural security. See, oftentimes we believe our security is in the stuff and the things that we have. We look at our investments, we look at our retirement account, we look at the bank accounts and all those types of things. We look at the house, the car, and the land, and we look at our careers and our jobs and all those types of things, and we believe those things are keeping us secure. And we want those things to be our security. But the Lord says, no. See, because my will is always outside of that which is familiar, comfortable, and secure. My will is always outside of your comfort zone. It's always outside of that which you're familiar with. And it's always outside of what you believe is your security blanket. See, because church, if we hang on to the stuff and the things as being our security, we're not going to move. Come on now. See, because when the Lord begins to speak, we're going to still hang on to the side of the pool. But you have to realize that the Lord is no longer at the side of the pool. Because the next move of God is in the deep. Listen, you can't learn to swim in the shallow end. You know, they throw you into the deep end where your feet can't touch the ground and you can't touch the sides. Well, you have to sink or swim. See, as long as we're hanging on to our natural things as our security, church, we're in the shallow end and we're hanging on to the sides of the pool, but the will of God is not there. He wants us in the deep end so that we always have to depend on him. Well, we always have to depend on him, because we can get to the point, because of our natural security, we'll start trying to care for ourselves as opposed to depending on him to care for us. And the Lord has said, no, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to trust me. Are we yet together, church? So as we're looking at this, we had several objectives that we had dealt with in this theme. We had to know who we had to know why we're here. You all remember that? We're made for God's purpose. Many people believe that we can just choose our own purpose, that, you know, a purpose that looks good to us and sounds good to us, that's going to pay us a lot of money and make us famous. But the Word of God lets us know that God has made us and not we ourselves. So if God has made us, he's the one that determines the purpose. He's the one that determines the purpose. The creator and the maker determines the purpose of that which is in fact made and or created. Are we yet together? And so we have been made for his purpose. And so we can't up and decide to choose a purpose. We can't just show up being the new kids on the block and say, well, this is my purpose. We didn't make ourselves, we didn't create ourselves, but we just going to usurp ourselves and come up with a purpose for ourselves. But we have been made for God's purpose and for his assignment. And church, you have to realize that your purpose and God's assignment for you is connected to the purpose of the church. It's connected to the purpose of the church. Well, I don't believe that. Okay. That's fine. But there's some things that we know. None of us made ourselves. None of us created ourselves. None of us determined the time of our birth. None of us know the time of our departure. And none of us chose our parents. So given all the things that none of us did, or none of us know, it would just seem to me, I mean, you know, God made the birds. It seems to me that the birds know what their purpose is. I've never heard a bird bark or meow, except for a parakeet, but they're just mimicking. It seems like everything else that God has made, they know that the sun knows its purpose. The moon knows its purpose. But it seems to me if we're the apex of God's creation, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He just didn't make us to just kind of figure some stuff out. I believe that he has something in mind when he created and made each and every one of us. And we have learned that what he had in mind, he started at the end. He started with the end goal first. He says, this is what I need based on the fact that I'm able to see the past, the present, and the future all at one glance. I know the beginning and I know the end of the things. And so I'm looking at all of this and I know what's going to be needed in the earth. And so, well, let me create somebody. Let me make somebody that's going to be able to do this, this, and this. That's going to fill a need. That's going to fill a need. Church, we realize and understand that we are here to fill a need. God doesn't make anything that doesn't fill a need. He doesn't make anything extraneous, and so that includes you and I. None of us are extraneous, and none of us are mistakes. We're here with and on purpose. God wanted us here, and he wanted us here for these times. So the times that we're experiencing, the times that we're living in, and the times that we're experiencing, all these things are going around. God wanted you here for this time, and it's time for your purpose. And it's time for your assignments. See, we didn't come 100 years ago, and we're not here 100 years from now. We're here right now. He determined the time of our birth, and he knows the time of our death, and he knows everything he wants us to accomplish between the time we get here and the time that we leave. But that time is called life, and it's called being able to fulfill his purpose and his plans and his assignment for us. And when we finish those things, we walk out of these bodies to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Come on, church. Oh, we're yet together. It's your time. It's our time. Tell yourself, it's my time. There you go. That's what I've been waiting to hear. It's my time. So we know why we're here, and we know who we are. We're the church. The church is, see, this is just a building that sometimes people call it the church, but no, the church are the people that gather in the building. We're the church. And we're here to carry out and to extend the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. See, we're the body of Christ. The scripture says that the Lord Jesus was talking to his father. He said, Father, you have prepared me a body to go down here and to redeem man. Well, guess what? Now the Lord is preparing a body, and it's called the body of Christ. And so now what he wants to do is the body of Christ to carry out the mission that he began. Church, are we together? And so we are the church. And so for God to do anything in the earth, he's going to have to do it through the church. He's going to have to do it through the church. And I believe that's what the church universal don't understand, is that if God's going to do anything in the earth, he's going to have to get it done through his church, because that's all he has to work through. is not coming from the world. The world has no answers. The world has no answers, has no solutions. The answers and the solutions come from God because we're dealing with God-sized problems. And there's only problems that he can solve, and he's the only one that has the solution and the answer, but the only vehicle he has to get him into the earth is his body. Church, we are his body. We are the church, and the church is whoever we are. Are we together? Come on now, church. And so now that we know why we're here, we know who we are, and we know we do out of who we are. So we know that we are the church. Now, what we know that we ought to be doing is doing the works of Christ. Let's go to John 14. Are we there? We're doing the works of Christ. And so we're continuing in our series entitled Doing the Works of Christ. And so we're going to be working with this for a moment, doing the works of Christ. The Lord didn't send any of us here to sit. You know, coming into the earth is not a vacation. Although this is vacation weekend, some people, maybe they didn't get the memo. but we do the works of Christ because that's who we are. See, if we're the body of Christ, then we do the works of Christ because Christ needed a body to do the works. He couldn't, see, while he was here, he could only interact with a few people at a time. But now he says, well, listen, I got a body all over the world. We can get a whole lot of things all over the world because I've got a body now. I've got all these members of this body and, you know, different races, different creeds, different ethnicities, different cultures and all those types of things. Different, you know, man, we can get a whole lot of things done in the earth, Father. But I need my church to accept why they're here. And to accept who they are. And church, when we accept who we are, we will do the works of Christ. John chapter number 14, are we together? Let's begin reading verse number 9. John chapter number 14. Verse number 9, let's begin reading. Watch what Jesus says. It says, Jesus says unto Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Can you believe that, Philip? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells where? He's doing what? Come on now. Come on now. Now remember this. Now Jesus, he comes into the earth and he takes on humanity. Fully human, fully divine. But the scripture also let us know that he left his divine privileges and capabilities, if you will, in heaven. So he comes into the earth and he will walk the earth just as you and I would walk the earth. Come on now. And so Jesus is saying that the works that you see me do, they're being done as a result of the Father dwelling in me. He's doing the works in me and through me. That's important. That's important. And he said, now, if you can't believe that the Father is in me, pay attention to the work. See, we're living in the midst of times now where people are beyond hearing something. See, because there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of noise out there. You know, with the spread of social media and technology and entertainment and all these types of things, and you know, that has been damaging to the body of Christ. It's been damaging to the truth because everybody is a keyboard bishop now. A keyboard apostle now. And they have their own church now with followers. And they're following the apostles and the bishops as opposed to following Christ now. And so there's a lot of things that are going on now. And so now people are getting to the point where, and so now they don't know what to believe. We're in the midst of times now where people need to see something. They need to see God. The unbeliever needs to see God. See, that's one of the reasons that Jesus came in a body, because the unbeliever needed a God that they can see. Jesus is no longer here, but he left the body of Christ. And now we are to be the evidence of a God that the unbeliever cannot see with their natural eye. See, they have to be able to see God in us. And the way they see God in the church is by what happens between one another. And as we love one another, as we care for one another, what happens is that they're able to see the love that we may talk about. But they have to be able to see it in the church, and they have to be able to experience it when they come in the midst of the assembly in the church. They have to be able to see the love in action, and they have to be able to experience it when they come, because they need to see something that backs up what they hear. But here's the thing. Jesus is saying, now listen, if you can't believe that the Father is in me, just check out the work. Verse number 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, Jesus is saying greater works. Greater works. Now notice what he says. He says he. He didn't say us. And he didn't say y'all. He says he. What Jesus is letting us know, that each one of us who make up the church, Jesus is saying, listen, you shall do greater works. You shall do greater works than I do, because I go to my Father. Because there's something that's going to happen when I go to my Father that's going to allow you to do greater works than I do. Now, the greater works is not raising the dead, open blinded eyes, and stopping deaf ears. Those are signs. Those are signs and wonders that follow the work. Are we together? And so Jesus is talking about the works, and we're going to get to what the works are. But Jesus is letting us know that we're supposed to do greater works. Each and every one of us can, in fact, do greater works than Jesus did. And I know that's hard to wrap our minds around, but he's saying it, and it's not necessarily because of you, it's because of what's going to happen when I go to my Father. See, the work that I was doing because my Father was in me doing the work. And guess what? There's going to be someone in you that's going to be doing the work through you. Amen. Come on, church. We have to elevate who we are. We have to elevate how important we are to the will and the plan of God. You see, it doesn't matter what society has said about you. God wanted you here, and he wanted you here now. You have a purpose and assignment. You are important to his plan. And guess what? You too can do greater works. Church, you are important. You are important to the work of God. Then he said, verse number 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he said, that's what I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I've been with you for three and a half years, but I'm about to check out of here. But don't worry, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to send someone. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be where? He says, I will not leave you comfortless, meaning I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you without directions or instructions. He said, I'm going to come to you by he that's going to dwell in you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. When I send you this other person. When I send you this other person, you're going to know in that day. Come on, church. You're going to know at that day, you shall know. You shall know. You shall know. Not believe. No. You're going to understand. You're going to understand something at that day. And at that day, something is going to happen to cause you to know and to understand that I'm dwelling in you. Come on, church. At that day. And you're going to know that I'm in you. You're looking at me now. And as you're looking at me now, I'm not in you. But at that day, something's going to happen. And you're going to know that I'm in you. And as I'm in you, I'm going to be working in you and through you, just as my Father was in me and working through me. And you're going to do greater works. See, I have to walk every place that I go. You all have cars now. Bicycles now. You can get around now. You can send text. You can send email. You can send a video now. Come on, church. Are we together? This is good stuff. Here it is, church. I believe change is possible. I believe change is possible, and where there's change, there's growth. See, that's what life is about, change. Change is life, and life is change. Change is life, and life is change. Just look at yourself in the mirror in the mornings. See, your face is a little different now than it was even 6 months ago. And even when you try on your clothes, get ready to come to service on Sunday, things have changed. We'll leave that alone. But church, I believe things can change. And we have to realize that we're here for a reason. And we're here to make a difference eternally. See, whatever the world does actually doesn't bring change. And whatever they call change is temporary. But it doesn't have eternal benefits. Or it doesn't make an eternal difference. But the church, we're here to make a difference eternally. See, when people's lives are truly changed, they're changed forever. And it makes an eternal difference. See, when God solves a problem, the problem is solved. So we don't have to keep coming back to it unless we do something to keep causing it. But when he solves the problem, the problem is solved. See, it's like racism. That's why younger people are asking, well, why are we still dealing with this racism? Because the church has never been the solution to solve it. See, the church doesn't understand who they are. See, because if it can't be solved in the body of Christ, it's not going to be solved in the world. So if we, the children of God, can't come together, then the world has no hope. Are we here together? But in this house, We love one another. And our love is unconditional. There's no discrimination in this house. There's no prejudice in this house. Because there's none in the body of Christ. See, because you can't have racism and love. Because the love of God is unconditional. See, because if I have a reason to love someone, then if they stop meeting that reason, then I'll stop loving them. See, God never stopped loving us. And if there were some reasons, you know the story. He loved me when I was the most miserable of the wretched. But he had no conditions on his love. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. And here's the thing about it is that change is hard. It hurts. Change is hard and it hurts. Come on now. To leave that which is familiar, comfortable, and secure, to leave the knowledge that you have that you're depending upon church, it's going to be tough. Because you have been living years with that knowledge and depending upon that knowledge. And so now here's a preacher that's telling you, well, you need some new knowledge. You just can't depend on that knowledge because that knowledge is not going to get you to where you want to be. See, church, the current knowledge that we have is not going to get us to change. In order for us to change, we need different knowledge. Come on, church. We need different knowledge. We need different knowledge. And that's important for us. But church, it's hard. See, it's hard to give up some old ways. It's hard to give up some old beliefs that are not true. It's hard to give up some people that are holding us back. It's hard to give up some relationships that are holding us back. Well, I like them. They're my friend. But see, if they're not willing to change as you change, only one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to pull them to where you are or they're going to keep you back to where they are. And oftentimes that's what happens with young people. They don't realize and understand that the people that they associate with has a lot to do with them being able to move forward. Of course, the Bible says we become like the people we run with. Come on now. Are we here together? But change is hard. And what the Lord has provided us, he said, provided us power to bring about change. Acts chapter number 1. And I know you all saying this is a good review, Pastor. Yeah. See, because here's the thing. Oftentimes what we're looking for is new information. But when the Bible lets us know that we ought to study to show ourselves to be approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed. What the Lord is telling us to study is not new stuff. He's telling us to study the things that we have been taught. And he said, you'll find the new stuff in you studying what you've been taught. And we also know that teaching is repeating until learning takes place. How do we know when we have learned? We will modify our behavior. Well, Pastor, you say you haven't seen any change in our behavior? I'll leave that question to us. We're going back over this, right? Amen. All righty. See, repeating is safe. That's what the scripture says. He said, Paul says, you know, to repeat unto you is not grievous to me. No. This is safe. See, there's some things that you missed. Come on now, church. Listen, in the time that I want to preach, you're going to walk away with maybe a couple of minutes worth of what I said. So that means that you missed a lot, right? Y'all don't want to admit that. But that's all right. But that's the way it works. And so now what happens, you're able to pick up something that you may have missed before. And also the Spirit of God moves differently every week. But nevertheless, change is hard, but God has given us power to bring about change. And that's what we're going to see here in this interaction with Jesus and the disciples, Jesus and the early church, his church, we're going to see this. Because Jesus realized something. He gave them an assignment to carry out his work, but he also realized that they were not equipped to be able to do it. And here in Acts chapter number 1, let's begin reading verse number 1. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem and try to go out with what he would have them to do. I've given you some instructions. I've given you some work to carry out. But listen, don't go out and try to do it yet. Then he says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And when they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that may or may not happen. Church, God gives us information on a need-to-know basis. That's why we have to trust him. That's why we have to leave that which is familiar, comfortable, and secure. Listen, God's not going to reveal his will in a place of familiarity, comfortability, and security. You don't need any instructions if you're not going to move. Come on, are we together? He said, you don't need any instructions if you're not going to move. He said, I need you to get you to a place where you're willing to hear me. Change doesn't come in the midst of comfort, familiarity, and our natural security. Change doesn't come if we're going to hang on to the old and depend on the old. Come on, church. Because change is in front of us. We have to step out. See, we want to stay in being familiar, comfortable, and secure, and we're waiting for change to happen. Lord, change me. You heard the song? Some of you are old enough to remember who sang it. Change me. All right. I'm going to have to update my notes and I need a different example. But nevertheless, he said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Verse number 7, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father had put in his own power, but verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is talking about you shall wait for the promise of the Father. Then he goes on to say in verse number 8, for you shall receive power. You shall receive power. Acts chapter number 2. In Acts chapter number 2, at the day of Pentecost, we find the church assembled again, and they're assembled together, and they're with one accord, and they're praying. And as they're praying, what begins to happen is exactly what the Lord said. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues. They had received power. This is at that day that we saw in John 14:20. At Pentecost, it was that day. He says, now at that day, something is going to happen to you, and you're going to know that I'm in you. Church, when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, we know something happens. And we receive power. Power to do what? To power to be who God desires us to be. And the power to do what he sent us to do. The power to fulfill our purpose. The power to fulfill our purpose. Are we yet together? Y'all sound a little weak here. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Now here we're going to find Peter. Now this is after Peter has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The same Peter that was walking with Jesus when they took Jesus and started beating Jesus. And the women came up to Peter and told the folks that, hey, this man Peter was with Jesus, and Peter cursed him out. Denied that he even knew him. Y'all remember that? But now Peter has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He has received power. There has been a change. Now, this same Peter that was afraid to admit that he knew Jesus to the women, now he's standing up bold and he's preaching. There has been a change. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and preach, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. They went from 120 people in a room with children, waiting on the promise of the Father through Jesus Christ. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of them. And they received the power. And from that point on, they began to do the works of Christ. And as they began to do the works of Christ, they went from 120 to 3,000 in a span of a short period of time. It's because of who was working in them and through them. Are we yet together, church? Are we yet together? They were doing greater works than Jesus. Change is possible. Church, change is possible. The church has been empowered and equipped. And the power that they received changed their hearts. Change their hearts and they did greater works. Church, when our hearts are truly changed, it changes what we do. See, if we want change, change has to come first by changing the heart. See, you can't change behavior until you change the heart. See, anything that we do with behavior is temporary. If you want any type of lasting change, you have to change the heart that's producing the action and the thinking. And so if we want change, our hearts must be changed. And when our hearts are changed, everything changes. When our hearts are changed, everything changes. When our hearts are changed, what begins to happen is that we'll begin to do the works of Christ. But right now, it comes down to whether or not our hearts are going to be changed. Because it's also our heart that determines who we are and what we do. And if we're going to be the church, if we're going to be the church and accept the fact that we are the truth that we are the church and do the works of Christ, our hearts must be changed. Our hearts must be changed. See, because we can't separate who we are from what we do. We can't separate who we are from what we do. And so we can look at what we do to determine who we are. Are we here together? So if we're going to be the church, we're going to do the works of Christ. Because as we do the works of Christ, it's going to be a reflection of who we are. Jesus knew that he needed to change the hearts of the church. He knew that. And he knew that from the beginning. That's why he gave them the assignment, and then he told them to wait till you receive the power. And it's the power to change hearts. It's the power to change hearts. And it was the power of God dwelling in them, and it's the power of God that dwells in us that changes our hearts so that we can do and be who we ought and what we ought. Are we together, church? Let's go to Romans 10, and we'll begin to close it down here. Change has to take place on the inside. Change has to take place on the inside. You know, it's like when I was growing up, you know, I got one spanking. No, it wasn't a spanking. It wasn't a spanking. I'll put it that way. It was a good beating. But see, a good beating will only modify behavior for a short period of time. true change has to come based on what happens on the inside. Because if we're changed on the inside, then what we do externally would change. And that's where we need the help, and that's where we need the power to change our hearts. We'll begin to close it here. Romans chapter number 10. And Jesus knew that if the church was going to carry out his instructions, they need a power that was going to work on the inside, to work in them so that there could be a work that would be done through them. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come. Where am I? I'm in Rome. Okay, Romans 10. I was in Romans chapter 9. I said, man, that didn't look real familiar. But Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. The Lord said, the scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Church, that's how we got saved. We heard the gospel. We believed in our hearts unto righteousness, and we confessed the Lord Jesus with our mouth. And it put us in a position for change to truly be manifested in our lives. I wanted us to see how important our hearts are. I want us to see how important our hearts are. See, for change to take place, our heart has to be changed. And here's the thing about it. I'm going to give you our subtitle for next week. Our subtitle for next week's message is this. If we're going to do the works of Christ, it's going to require a changed heart. If we're going to do the works of Christ, if we're going to be who we are and do what we ought, it requires a changed heart. It requires a changed heart. What happened to the early church when they received power? At that moment, they began to realize and understand that Jesus was alive. And he was alive in their heart by his spirit. At that moment, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was alive. At that moment, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that something had happened, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it caused them to be changed. It caused them to be changed. They knew that Jesus was alive. And they knew that he was alive in their hearts. And as they knew that he was alive in their heart, they trusted him. They lent not to their own understanding. Jesus is alive and he's in my heart. Not because I heard it, not because somebody told me, because I now know and understand. I now know and understand it, and because I now know and understand it, I trust him with my whole heart. See, it's no longer words on a page. It's Jesus in my heart. And he's alive in my heart, and I know that he's alive in my heart. And the church, the way that we know that he's alive in our hearts is that we trust him with our whole heart. I trust him with my whole heart. I'm trusting him with my life. Because I know he's alive. It's not something that happens in my intellect. It's what I know and understand. I know he's alive. Church, it's like when you stick your finger in this light, in this socket here. When that electricity comes out, something happens. I did that when I was about 6 or 7 years old on Christmas Day. I got a little car track set, and I was plugging it in into the socket, and my finger got caught up in there. And listen, I don't play with electricity. Listen. When the Lord is alive in your heart, there's trust. There's trust. When the Lord is alive in your heart, you have confidence in Him. When the Lord is alive in your heart, let us see there's hope. When He's alive in your heart. And so He's not a God out there. He's not some God out there, some God that someone told me about. No. He's alive. And because He's alive, I know His promises are true. I know His word is true. In church, if I'm struggling with trusting God, has your heart truly been changed? Has your heart truly been changed? If I'm struggling trusting God's word, has your heart truly been changed? Because it changes things. And there's a confidence that comes. That's why Peter was able to stand up boldly and being unashamed, doing the works of Christ. He didn't care who was with him, and he didn't care who was against him. Come on, church. He had a boldness that he didn't have before. Because he now knows that Jesus is alive in his heart. And it's not an intellectual exercise. Are we together, church? And he began to do the works of Christ. Point number two, I'm going to give you this and then we'll pick it up next week. Not only do we know that he's alive in us, but point number two, we'll seek his righteousness. See, because believing with our heart leads us to righteousness. And so what that says, I seek his righteousness. When I seek his righteousness, I seek his will, his word, before I go any place else for directions and instructions. See, even before I form an opinion, I seek his righteousness. I don't even come up with an opinion until I go to him. Why? Because I'm seeking his righteousness. I don't go to social media. I don't go anyplace else. Why? Because I'm seeking his righteousness. Why? Because he's alive in me, and that's where I'm going. Because I want to be right with him. I don't even form an opinion. I'm not seeking an opinion. And church, we can tell when we're not seeking his righteousness is when I'm going other places for opinions and directions and instructions. But when my heart has been changed, I seek his righteousness. Why? Because he won't fail me. He won't fail me. Not only will he not fail me, guess what? He loves me. He's not going to steer me wrong. He has my best interests at heart. He has my best interest at heart. Are we together, church? All right, church. Did we learn anything this morning? Amen. Well, my time is up, and I want to thank you for yours this morning. Amen. Come on, church. The Lord is good. Come on now. The Lord is good. He sent us to do a work and an assignment for him, and he given us the power to be able to accomplish it so that we might find fulfillment and satisfaction in life, so that we might make a difference in people's lives that are eternal. Come on now. Let me see. We're here to bring about change. The Lord is good. Somewhere in the series, we're going to get down to how we draw on that power when we need it. It's going to be good. If you're missing Bible study, you're going to miss a blessing. Because we're going to break down the mechanics of how to get that thing going. Because sometimes during the course of our lives, we can get to the point where we become estranged from God. But there's a power source that dwells on the inside of us. And we need to know how to get that baby going again. So we know he's alive and he's alive in us. Amen. Well, church, my time is up, and I want to thank you for yours this morning. And so we look forward to a Bible study. We also look forward to next Sunday's message. If we're going to do the works of God, it requires a changed heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed. It's about change. It's all about change. Nothing truly remains the same. We're either getting better or we're getting worse. Either things are getting better or things are getting worse, but nothing really truly stays the same. Just in the brief moments that we have been able to share this morning, you may be here or you may be listening via the CDN or the internet. We want you to know that change is in fact possible. It is more than possible. But true change can only come from God through Jesus Christ. And the change has to begin on the inside. And just in the brief moments that you have been listening, this message may have spoken to your heart. And we want you to know, for those that are listening via the CDN or the internet, we want you to know that right now, as you have been listening to this message, the Lord loves you too much to leave you where you are. Jesus Christ has come to bring change and to bring change for the better. Right now, you have a church that's praying for you. And they're praying that you would open up your heart and just call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart to change you and to turn your life around. We're praying because we know that he's faithful and just to keep his word. And so if you just call upon the name of the Lord, invite him into your heart, we know he'll do exactly as he says. To come, to save, to change, and to turn your life around. We're praying for you. And we just ask that you would, in fact, join us once again. God bless you. Amen.